As I mentioned last week, this series that we're looking at from the book of James is about practical Christianity. Today's subject, coping with anger in God's way, is a very practical issue that we all have to deal with. Anger is a God-given emotion. We know when we are angry. We can sense it building up in us sometimes. We can feel the effect it has upon us, how it changes the way we act or react to others or to certain situations. But anger is not always wrong. Many times we read in the Bible about God being angry and God is righteous. And such anger, of course, is righteous anger against evil. Our problem is, however, that although the Bible instructs us to be angry without allowing that anger to lead us into unrighteous acts, too often our expression of anger is neither righteous nor without evil intent. Anger has been defined as a strong or an emotion characterized by a strong feeling of displeasure and sometimes a desire for revenge, usually triggered by a real or imagined wrong done to the victim. According to one website I was looking at, anger is often called a secondary emotion because we tend to resort to anger in order to protect ourselves or to cover up other vulnerable feelings. A primary feeling is what is felt immediately before we feel anger. We almost always feel something else first before we get angry. And it goes on to say that anger is like an iceberg, in that only some of the emotions are visible. The other emotions exist, as it were, below the waterline, where they are not immediately obvious to outside observers. An example of that is if you're in a group, a small group of friends, and someone, and normally it's someone who's pretty close to you, someone knows you well, perhaps it might be wife or husband, or it might be a very close friend, and they make a remark that you see as a put down. You know the type of thing that happens. Your feeling is of humiliation. You feel humiliated before the other people in the group. That's your first feeling. And then that generates in you a second feeling, which is normally the feeling of anger. What do? You express that anger by biting back with a comment or a gesture or some other action. Now, this emotion of anger is something that we all express in different ways. And I want you to think about that this morning. I'm actually going to do an illustration with you today with my help of my lovely assistant, Terry. of anger. This illustration comes from a children's Sunday school lesson teaching children about anger. But it talks about the different expressions of anger. And as you listen, perhaps you can work out which one you use most and think about it. Now, the first is the person who is just so quick to get angry, to fly off the handle. You know the type of person. They have no hesitation about expressing their anger whatsoever, anywhere and in any place. They never hold their anger back. They're the type of person who jumps to the wrong conclusions, the wrong observations so quickly. And they don't care who they hurt and embarrassed by their anger. They may get over it very quickly, but they leave hurting people behind who can't forget as quickly. And they're very much like a balloon. Now, a balloon like Terry has here, quickly blown up, and then released all of a sudden. And if it happens to hit someone and hurts them, then that's their problem. They have vented their anger, and they feel quite happy about that now. That's all that counts, as far as they're concerned. Now, you perhaps know people like that. Perhaps you're a little like that. Now, the second way of dealing with anger is very different. It's you've got the person who just doesn't believe in letting that anger like that to explode. That is disgusting. You will never find them doing that. That's making a huge scene, and they're not into huge scene. So when they get angry, they let it out little by little by little in a constant whinge. Just like the annoying sound that a balloon makes when Terry's playing with it. Thank you. He likes that bit. They constantly moan, they constantly complain, nothing makes them happy. They're bitter, they're not nice to be around, they have this kind of angry grudge inside, and because it makes them unhappy, they intend to make life unhappy for everybody else. Then there's the third way of dealing with anger. And that's the person who holds the anger in. They go silent on you. They don't talk about it. You say to them, hey, what, is something bothering you? And they say, nothing. Now, they may get teary at times, and at times they may even run out of the room, but they hide the anger away. They refuse to talk about it. But the problem is that the anger in them continues to build up until suddenly they explode. And often, it's the silly little thing that acts like a pin bursting the balloon. Their anger, when it comes, is out of proportion to what they seem to be angry about. Why? Because the real reason is way back there, and it may never, ever be discovered or talked about. Are you like that? The fourth way of dealing with anger, and the best way, is is to recognise the feeling of anger as it's beginning to build up in you. To recognise it there. As it starts, you may notice that you start clenching your teeth, that's what I do. Or you clench your fist. Or maybe you finally feel yourself getting hot and your face gets a little red. Or perhaps you're just on edge and you're anxious inside. And you know it's coming. And it's that point you've got to recognise what it is, what emotion is stirring there that's making you angry. Are you feeling hurt by something that's been said? Are you feeling rejected? Are you feeling humiliated? And as you discover what that is, you decide you're going to deal with what is really bothering with you in the best way and the best time. It's making sure that the anger you feel is really expressed in a controlled and, if possible, constructive way. Like a balloon that lets out the air in a controlled and slow fashion. No. That's all right. Thank you. You may have some funny noises, but they're not going to destroy anyone. That's just some ideas of anger. You can go now. Now, when we turn to our Bible reading, we discover what James has to say about anger. There's the last one, and now we come to this one. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, if you've got your Bibles, is our reading for today. And James writes and says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So James instructs us to be slow to be angry. But what he's talking about here is a controlled, righteous, right use of this God-given emotion. But particularly, James wants us to be aware that there is inherent in each one of us an anger He calls it man's anger. Notice that? That doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. The contemporary English version says that if we are angry like that, then you cannot do any of the good things that God wants done. And we all know this, don't we? We all know that when we give in to this man's anger, then not only do we feel guilty after it, but it sets back God's plan for our relationships hugely, doesn't it? And other things God wants us to do. In one of the DVDs that I use often in my counselling, Greg Smalley, who happens to be a marriage guidance speaker, gives an illustration which I think is quite good. I want you to listen to this illustration about perhaps the bad way, man's way of giving into anger. Thank you. No, not that one. Here we go. Do you want to take it back and so we have the sound? This is just to get you used to him before you listen to him. You can see he's wearing a blue shirt, quite plump, hands. You might not like me saying that. What's happening there, Rex? We had all this worked out. We practiced this. Believe it or not, we went through this about half a dozen times to make sure that... I won't. I might have to tell you the story myself, although he tells it so much better. Frustration, thank you. That's the feeling now. How am I going to? I think I will control it. I think we'll leave that, Rex, and I will tell the story. Stop it, yeah. Okay. Greg, as I said, he tells the story about... hadn't been married long to his wife. I think it's a beautiful story. And they woke up one morning before she went to work, and I think he was studying, so he wasn't going to work. He was staying at home. They'd been having this discussion, and it was getting a little bit heated. And they had decided early in their marriage that whenever they got to that point, they would stop. They would leave it and come back another time and talk it out together. And that no one would ever have the final word. So she said to him, "Honey, I think we're getting pretty heated here. Why don't we leave it there and we talk about it later?" He said, "I think that's a great idea." And so she went out to go to work. And as she went out, he said, she got to the door, opens the door. And as she went out, she just turned around and made one last point. And he said he got angry. He said, she was lying to me. Because she wasn't supposed to do that. We had decided we would never have the last one. He was so hot and angry. And he was fuming about it. He said, just that day, that's what happened, that he had been left to do the laundry. Now, they lived in some sort of a second-story apartment with the laundry facilities for all the apartments down below. What they would do, they'd get all the laundry together, they'd drag it to their veranda, then drop it over the top. Then drag it into the laundry and do it. And he got this out, he put it all, he dragged it out. And as he got to the veranda, he noticed his wife was just coming out the apartment door. Now, she must have stopped to talk to someone. And he was starting to think to himself, now, if I just drop it near her, it would just show her that she shouldn't have the last word. So he said he perched it on the veranda, on the top of the railing, and he's leaning over and he's watching her. And he thought, I'll just make it, just miss her. And he let it go. And as he says in the video, now it depends on your opinion, whether you think he was off target or on target. But unfortunately, it actually hit her, just on the shoulder. And it sent her right on her back into the bushes. He said, a bag went, cheese went, and a mobile phone another way. And she's looking up right at him, and he's thinking, whoops, I'm in trouble. So he goes... He sees her. He said he didn't think she could move that fast. She runs in up the steps. He immediately runs to his apartment door and locks it. He then stands behind the apartment door and she's hammering on it. She says, I know you're in there. And he's saying, quiet, pretending he's not there. He's thinking, eventually she'll go. eventually she went home. He went to work. That night, he said, that day, he got the laundry done. He said he got that laundry done so well. When she came home that night, had all the laundry all nicely done in the little apartment. Even the hankies had been ironed. He said, in fact, he got laundry from next door so it looked more, and did that as well, and ironed that as well. And he had roses and everywhere. And as she came in the door, he said he was down there on bended knees saying, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Now we can feel, I'm sure, for that couple. But it is a story that encourages us to cope with anger, not in the natural way of man, but in God's way, because it's so much better. And both Paul and James in the Bible give us directions on how we can best do this. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27, Paul speaks about coping with anger God's way. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Once again, the CEV explains it, I think, a little better when it says, don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry. And don't give the devil a chance. And it's that last statement that is so revealing, isn't it? For we all know that the devil will use our anger. He will, to destroy our witness to others. Paul goes on to tell us in verse 31 that every believer needs to make a definite decision to get rid of anger in their lives. And in fact, he uses a word for anger there, which is the word wrath, to get rid of wrath. And not to use it as a weapon of revenge. And that word wrath is the same word for anger that James uses back in James. So when we turn back to James, we find that James actually gives us more practical suggestions, I think, about coping with anger God's way. And he gives us a process and a precaution. The process is threefold. He says, one, be quick to listen. Haven't you found that angry feelings often develop in arguments because we're not prepared to listen to what the other is really saying? You know, we quickly make assumptions of what they're saying and then we listen no more. I'm guilty of that, sorry. Or we don't allow them to express an opinion which we know is contrary to ours. So we actually keep our opinion going so that they can't get in. Again, guilty. Quick to listen allows them the right to be heard and enables us to hear the issue from their perspective before we actually introduce ours. Second, he says, be slow to speak. Now, this isn't just about interrupting the conversation. Well, I'm sure that comes into it. It's about giving ourselves time to really think about our words before we respond and say something that, you know, in reality, we can never, ever take back. It will always still be there. Slow to speak includes deciding to deal with the issue when both parties are calmer and have time to do so and can look at the total picture. Slow to become angry. Once again, as I said, that word angry is the word wrath. Wrath as in the wrath of God. That's when it's used. The judgment of God. So slow to wrath is talking about our active response. That we should be slow to do something. Because often our wrath is not, well, normally our wrath is not righteous like God's. We do the wrong thing, as Greg did in the illustration. Then we come to the precaution. The precaution is contained in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. What is the precaution? It's to get rid of all the bad stuff. All the bad stuff that influences anger in us. And we know what it is. Because this stuff is so prevalent in our society. There is plenty of reasons around us that are pushing us to get angry. And plenty of encouragement and plenty of teaching about anger in our society. The bad type of teaching. If there are films that you watch or books you read or electronic games you play that generate angry impulses in you, get rid of them. If there are certain friends who are constantly angry and when you're with them you know it brings out the worst in you, then either talk to them or have less to do with them. If the music or the language that you use is angry, is bad, is coarse, James would say, get rid of it. If alcohol fuels your angry spirit, then avoid it. That's what James says here. That's the precaution. On the positive side, and there is positive there, notice, get stuck into God's word. And let God's word get stuck into you. Then finally this morning, there's one other aspect relating to coping with anger God's way that needs Terry again. Comes from the balloon illustration. You see, this might take a little while to set up. My assistant is not so young as he used to be, not so fast. That's humiliation, that is, yeah. But when's this balloon that Terry's got here? When the anger heats up, you know, anger heats up within us or around us, and especially when it's the it's very hard to deal with on our own. Just happens, doesn't it? We try to do it on our own, and it's very hard to deal with. When the heat, that whether it's anger of man or anger of God, but however, believers, we're not our own, are we? We have God, the Holy Spirit, within us, rather like the balloon with water. When the heat of the anger of man hits us, whether that anger is from ourselves or from another against us, we are not destroyed. We may be blackened, as that balloon will probably be. We may be hurt, and we may be affected of it. And definitely we get warm, and the water in that balloon started cold, but is now quite hot. But because of God's kindness and God's mercy, we're still intact. That's the wonderful thing. So, in the final conclusion, the way to cope with anger God's way is, of course, in God's strength, with God's guidance. And when we fail, and we still will, or when others fail us, and they definitely will, then we cope with God's forgiveness, with God's mercy, and with God's love.